Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths. Let me just begin today's episode by issuing a formal public apology. Yesterday, or last episode, I should say, when we were doing the podcast, I looked at the clock and I must have miscalculated. I thought we had been speaking for 15 minutes when I'd actually only been speaking for 10 minutes. So if you felt that yesterday's episode was short, it was. And so please forgive me for that. We'll try to make up for some lost time today. We are in Acts chapter 27, and the Apostle Paul has given this timely message of hope to the people on the ship, saying, listen, God told me this through his messenger. We can believe God, therefore you can be of good cheer. I want us to go to verse 26. So Paul's message to the people ends in verse 25. And in verse 26, the Bible says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So, guys, be of good cheer. I believe God. It's going to happen. But, you know, we're going to be shipwrecked on an island.
Yeah, at least our lives are going to be saved, but the shipwreck is not going to be any fun. And we're going to see some very, you know, exciting circumstances unfolding here. But they do know they will be shipwrecked, get to an island safely.
Yeah, and we view shipwreck on an island almost in a romantic way because we grew up watching the Swiss Family Robinson. Oh, man, I mean, come on. An island, you get to live on the beach and, you know, drink out of coconut shells, and this is going to be living a hut. This is going to be like Gilligan's Island, right? But they knew much better. Islands are not good places to be shipwrecked, especially when they're just random islands. First of all, there's a resource issue. Second of all, there is a hostility issue among islanders. Thirdly, you have absolutely no idea when rescue might be afforded. So that is not good news.
This is not good news whatsoever.
So we'll be cast on an island. And verse 27, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. That's the depth. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So 14 nights in the storm, 2 full weeks. And they kind of espy a shoreline. Hey, this, we might be saved. This might be our hope. They're realizing that as the ship is being driven, it's getting closer and closer to shore, which is good news in one sense, but it's bad news in another sense, because this is not a carefully crafted landing. This is a whatever happens, happens landing. And this is not a harbor. So at some point, the ship is going to run aground and you're not going to be near the shore. This is actually very dangerous, as we will see.
It is very dangerous because you mentioned it's not a harbor here. It's not some deep water port. And when you run your ship aground, then who knows what's going to happen to you?
Right. And what they're finding now is, 20 fathoms, 15 fathoms. It's getting closer. And no doubt the anxiety level is going up as the depth is decreasing. And the Bible says in verse 29, then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. So instead of allowing the ground to arrest their nearing the shore, they said the best thing for us to do now is anchor and hope for the best, and then when the morning light comes, we'll reassess the situation.
It is interesting. There, you know, it's night outside right now. You know, there's a storm. There's not some crystal clear night. They're in this. Who knows what this island is? They don't have the big floodlights like we would have today, be able to shine up on the island. There's no lighthouse here, and so although they you can see in the dark somewhat, they can see land out there. They have no idea what lies between them for sure in that land.
But the casting out of anchors, it does not solve the problem. So they're still in a storm, and the most tumultuous place in a storm is as you're nearing an island where the breakers are a problem. So the shipmen know that. They know that even though we have avoided running aground, we're still in a precarious situation, as we'll see in verse 30, because the Bible says, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, they knew how dangerous it was when they had to let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Okay, so there's a group of shipmen here that are like, okay, hey, we've got to go take care of this last anchor, but their purpose was, we're getting out of here. There's only a certain number of lifeboats. We're getting in this boat and we're going to get out of here before we die. And I mean, they're abandoning ship is what they're doing.
That is their full intention, to save their own skin, so to speak, and to just get the little boat and get to safety in any way they can.
And the Bible says in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. What an interesting comment. In other words, Paul said, I've given the word of God. I've told you that God said that we are going to be saved. These shipmen now, really in essence, are not believing that word. They're taking matters in their own hand. And Paul said, I'm here to tell you, unless you believe me, ultimately, unless you believe God, then it's not going to work. Yeah, so the word needs to be mixed with faith. So, soldiers, you better exercise a little legal authority here and keep those guys from leaving.
It is a remarkable experience we have here, and how, as you mentioned, they had to trust the word of God. In our life, God will put us in places sometimes where he will test us to see, you know, how will you do with my word? I think back to the Old Testament, and Jesus brings this up in Matthew 3 with the temptation with Satan, when Satan comes and tempts him. You know, man shall not live by bread alone. And the Bible tells us back in Exodus that God used that man to test them to see whether they would obey the law of God or not, whether they would obey his word. And God does that in our life many times. Will we be faithful in following him?
So, Paul issues this warning to the centurion. You have to think that that's a great measure of trust and relationship that the centurion has in Paul, that he would go to the legal authority on the boat and say, okay, listen, do what I'm telling you to do.
Yes, it sure was. You know, he has not listened before, so what will he do now?
Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. So think about it. This was the lifeboat. This was the human means of rescue. And yet the Bible says the soldiers cut that boat off and let her go. It's almost counterintuitive. Like, why would you be getting rid of the one human means of salvation?
Reminds us that God's ways are not man's ways. And this centurion has to understand, I better just follow what Paul says. And the fact that he does this does show the confidence he has in what Paul is saying.
And I think the illustration is applicable to all of us. And that is, you know, sometimes God tells us to cut the ropes to our idea of safety, or our idea of figuring it out, or our idea of escape. And trust him. You know, put your eggs all in one basket, and that basket is your faith in God.
You know, it reminds me of Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, we're not going to please God.
Yeah. So cut the ropes. What? I feel a sermon coming on right there. Verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. So that what that tells you is that, A, they were incredibly depleted, you know, having gone without food for this space of time. B, some of them had resorted to desperation fasting. Oh, God, do something. We're praying and fasting. Or at least C, they were so concerned about their food supply that they decided to ration for a time, not realizing, not recognizing how long they might have to be on that boat.
You know, you're right, Pastor. They are depleted physically now. Going without food for 14 days while you're fighting a storm, in many cases, it would just wipe you out. And Paul knows they need something in their life now.
Yeah. And guys, the answer has already been given. You can stop fasting. God already told me that our lives are going to be saved. So we need the strength to be able to tread water.
Yes.
We need the strength to be able to get from here to there. And so let's eat. Reminds me of what the Lord did for Elijah when Elijah was making his way from Jezreel to Mount Sinai, a great journey. And the angel of the Lord made him a meal and gave him rest. And sometimes in life, it's as simple as regaining some physical strength, getting some sleep, eating a good meal, and trusting the Lord.
It is. And God is concerned. We see in the New Testament, throughout the Bible, actually, but we see that God is concerned often with our physical needs and meets them because he knows that we do need food to follow him.
So Paul issues this rather strange piece of advice. And in verse 34, wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not any hair fall from the head of any of you. Now, obviously, that's picturesque speech. But it reminds me of some other passages in the Bible where God promised his protection. He promises protection for his own in the time of tribulation, for instance. He provided protection for the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, where not a hair of their head was singed and their clothes didn't smell like smoke. I mean, we see the same kind of protection God's affording here.
You know, I think my mind goes back also to the Passover back in Egypt when God said, put the blood, and you put the blood on your doorpost, you will not have any death whatsoever in your family. Our God is a deliverer, yes, eternally with our salvation, yes, but God also is a deliverer in our life in many ways today, physically.
Paul was a man that put his actions where his words were. So I'm sure in the minds of some, they're thinking, no, we need to continue to fast and we're praying to our gods or whoever they were fasting for. But Paul had issued that piece of advice. And the Bible says in verse 34, verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So Paul said, listen, this is my recommendation. This is what we need. And I'll be the first one to do this. So he ate that bread. He was sure to show that the breaking of fast, that's where we get the word breakfast from, break fast. The breaking of the fast was as spiritual as the fast itself. Because they were trusting God in praying, but now they're trusting that God's word has come. And so we can eat and prepare physically for the next stage that God has promised us.
And I love how Paul just takes initiative here. And Paul steps up, takes leadership, and Paul gives God thanks in front of them all. Now, we know a lot of these people did not follow Jehovah God, but Paul gives thanks to the true God. And Paul shows them, hey, it's time to eat. And he encourages them by taking the lead in doing so.
You'll never have a more powerful testimony for the Lord than you will have in times of trial. Those are times that try our faith. Those are times when our faith in God is on display. Those are times when people don't have answers and God's removing the resources that people have trusted in. It's a great time for the gospel. Our nation, as we do this podcast, John, is in a tense spot. and there are all kinds of question marks. But these are great days for the gospel and great days for Christians to say, I believe God, that God is at work, and I'm going to trust him. And so I hope that's your attitude today. Look forward to completing this chapter next episode. Thanks so much for being along for each part of it. Look forward to what the Lord teaches us, and I hope you have a great day today in the Lord. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.